Psalms chapter 13, verse 1. This is to the choir master, and it's a psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, and lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him, and lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Let's pray. O Lord, our Lord, I'm so grateful for your word, that it is a word from your throne, from your very being, from your heart and your mind. It's your word. And you gave it to us through humans, people like us. Father, protect us from the evil one and lead us not into temptation. And feed us your word, that we wouldn't lose what we've achieved. For your glory, for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is a psalm of David. And I have here the very first line. David made it. David made it. David had endurance. Let me read you. I just want you to listen to this. I purposefully did not have it on the screen. I just want you to hear, this is the very end of 1 Chronicles about the end of David's life. The writer says, thus David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. The time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron, 33 years in Jerusalem. Then he died at a good age, full of days, riches, and honor. And Solomon, his son, reigned in his place. Now the acts of King David, from the first to the last, are written in the chronicles of Samuel the seer, and the chronicles of Nathan the prophet, and the chronicles of Gad the seer, with accounts of all his rule and his might, and of his circumstances that came upon him, and upon Israel, and upon all the kingdoms of the countries. That's the end of David's life. Rich, receiving honor, old age, having a kingdom subdued, and giving it to his own son. He made it. David had endurance. Now he had a long, long reign with many difficulties, so the question I would ask myself is, what in the world was his secret? What gave him endurance? You know, we all talk to ourselves. I hope we all do. I talk to myself, and I'm getting ready to tell you about some of the conversations. So either I'm a Looney Tune, or I'm normal, or I'm a Looney Tune, and you guys are normal. But I talk to myself to give me endurance. I like to run, right? And I'm not fast, so I like to run far. And so I have to talk to myself, right? I have to have that Tommy on my shoulder saying that pain can have ice in a little bit, or ibuprofen will cure that, or just go a little bit. You've done this before. And one of the things I tell myself when I get a new distance is, I might not finish this race today, but they can't take those miles from me. And I encourage myself and I talk to myself. I do that as I work. I can remember vividly on a hot day reminding myself of a worse time so that I could get through that one. And we do that with all kinds of things in life to give us endurance. David had these things and he talked to himself and he put it to song. He put it to verse. He put it in poems. He had some trials that lasted a long time. And I wonder, how did he not give in to despair? And Matthew Henry gave this little, I'll call it a math equation. He didn't call it that. That kind of made sense to me. He says despondency, that's what we would kind of call depression or this melancholy feel. He says it leads to despair. Despair means hopeless. Despair isn't how you feel unless you feel like there's no options. Hopeless. And he says the lack of joy leads to the lack of hope. And so it's just these depressed feelings and this lack of being happy that leads to hopelessness. And if anybody would have felt hopeless, it would have been David. He had kings try to kill him, giants try to kill him, animals try to kill him, and his own son try to kill him. Over 40 years, there was high points, but the valleys of David's life was deeper than most of us know. His own son tried to kill him. But he didn't give in. He endured to the end. How did he do it? How did he make it through these trials? Because endurance is just waiting longer to give up. Endurance, whatever you're trying to endure, it's just waiting before you give up. How did David wait? And that's a word I've been thinking about, waiting. That word is not in this psalm, as you heard me read it. But that's what he was doing, is waiting and waiting and waiting. And I thought of the verse from Isaiah 40, 31 that we hear often, "Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength." And that gives us hope. We sing it. There's a song we sing, and it's upbeat, and it gives us, if you wait upon the Lord, you'll renew your strength. But do you hear what's implied with that? Waiting on the Lord, you can renew your strength. But that means waiting upon the Lord extinguishes your strength. Any strength that needs to be renewed is a strength that has been used. So you could say it, you know, wait upon the Lord, you can fill your tank. What's implied is your tank goes empty before it gets full. That's part of waiting. That's part of fighting against despair and hopelessness. It's part of endurance. And I want to look at this about what David did. And I want to look first in verses 1 and 2 about David's present feelings. David's present feelings. He says, "How long, O Lord?" Question mark. He repeats that four times. How long? How long? How long? How long? David's not asking the Lord a question. He's expressing his feelings. Will you forget me forever? Question mark. Notice all these question marks. How long will you hide your face from me? Just in that first verse, you see how he is feeling. He's using this question of how long to express his feelings. And he's saying, I feel like you have forgotten me. Like somehow I have slipped your mind, O Lord. And David is not in your mind. You have forgotten me. But he goes further than that. He says, how long will you hide your face from me? He's expressing his feeling that not only is he not in God's mind, but God is actively hiding his face from him. This is David seeking the face of the Lord, and the Lord hiding behind a bush or a wall, if you will. That David wants to find him, wants to seek, and he feels like God has forgotten him, and he feels like God is actively hiding from him. He feels abandoned by God. He feels abandoned by God. When he needs him the most, not only is he not there, but this phrase, you're hiding your face from me, is saying not only are you not there, but you don't want to be here. You're hiding. He goes further and progresses in verse 2. How long must I take counsel in my own soul? How long do I have to have my own voice in my head to talk me through this situation? Meaning, you're not here for me to take counsel with, and I have to talk to myself. And then he adds to that, and I have sorrow in my heart all the day. I'm not a very good counselor. How long do I have to talk to myself about this? And it just makes me full of sorrow all day long. So he's full of sorrow, meaning can't get any more, and it lasts forever all day long. He feels alone, sorrowful, and defeated. How long shall my enemies be exalted over me? David feels like he's laying on the mat. He's on the battlefield, defeated, and his enemies are standing over him. And God is nowhere to be found. He feels that God has not been faithful to him. This is David expressing his feelings, his emotions. And his emotions are, you've abandoned me. You've left me alone. You're hiding from me purposefully. And you don't care about my sorrow. And my enemies are exulting over me. So he prays. He expresses his feelings, and I go from David's present feelings to David's prayer. So verse 3, he starts talking to the Lord and asking him a question, asking him for something. So in the first question of how long, O Lord, is just really a way of him saying, I feel miserable and alone. And he says, so, Lord, consider me. Consider and answer me. Two things he's asking there for. Consider me. Think about me. Bring me into your mind, O Lord, and answer me. Not just think about me, but I want you to hear me and give me an answer. Quit hiding. He confesses that the Lord Yahweh is his God, O Lord my God. He says, light up my eyes. He's asking God. Now think about where his eyes must be like then, right? Dim and dark. David is talking about a time where he's at rock bottom all alone, and he's asking God to think about him and answer him, give him light in his eyes, bring him up out of this despair, out of this despondency, out of this hopelessness. And then he gives the purpose why he wants God to answer this. He says, if you don't, I'm going to sleep the sleep of death. I'm going to die. Answer my prayer so I don't die. That's what he says. Consider me and answer me. Lighten up my eyes so I don't die. That's how David feels. Verse 4 goes on with the purpose. Not only lest I sleep the sleep of death, but lest my enemies say I have prevailed over him, and lest they rejoice at me. Lest they boast and rejoice at defeating me. I don't want my enemies to boast and brag and rejoice about how they have shaken me and defeated me and how I lost and did not endure. David is praying for endurance. I need you to do something to my eyes. I need you to help me or I'm going to die. I need you to help me and give me endurance, or my enemies will be dancing over my dead body. And then I want you to look at David's actions. And he goes to the past, and he goes to the future. All these feelings and emotions are the present. How long, O Lord, I feel abandoned, I feel alone, you're hiding your face. All that is David right now. Then right now, he asks God to think about him and answer his prayer. And then he goes, but, you could say, nevertheless, I have trusted, past tense, in your steadfast love. King James says mercy. I have trusted, past tense, and my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. Right now, I feel alone, but I have trusted and I shall rejoice. Verse 36, again, into the present or into the future, I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Right now, I feel alone and abandoned by you, God. I feel like you have turned your back on me. I have trusted. I will rejoice and I will sing. But look at the reasons He's trusted, rejoice, and singing. God's steadfast love. God's salvation. God's bountiful dealings. So David at rock bottom feels all alone and abandoned by God. And he says, I've trusted in your character in the past. I'm going to sing and rejoice in your character in the future. All at the rock bottom of the motivation for this is God's character, who God is, God's steadfast love, God's salvation, God's bountiful dealings. David's talking to himself, and in his prayer isn't going over David's situation. He feels alone and abandoned because his situation. What he goes to is, who in the world is God? What has he been like towards me in the past? And what will he be like towards me in the future? And so he says, I have trusted, and I will sing, and I will rejoice. I mean, this psalm takes a huge, fast turn, doesn't it? From this despair and hopelessness and abandonment he feels, to all of a sudden, I'm going to sing and I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be happy. This isn't just, I'm going to get this hymn out and I'm going to work through it. He says, I will rejoice. I will sing. He's going to do these things. That's his motivation, is to trust in the Lord, to beg God to deliver him. And as we've learned in the Psalms, that's how David had endurance. He cried himself to sleep at night praying, and he killed giants and kings by day, by faith. He felt alone, and by faith, he said, I'll trust in you no matter how I feel, and I'll sing your praise. And then he died at an old age with his kids around him, telling them to trust in the Lord. I want you to notice something. I just want to go on into a little bit to an application. I want you to go back to verse 1 and look at the very beginning. Now, I read it on purpose this morning. I've skipped over it some in other psalms. But I want you to notice that this is to the choir master in the title. This is to the choir master. This isn't David out alone in a valley watching sheep with his harp by himself singing to himself. No, it might have been. He might have got this from his journal. I don't know. But when he wrote it down, he says, this is for the lead singer to lead others to sing. This is God working in David and saying, this is for the choir master. This is for the master over the choir. This is for the this is for the head singer to teach everybody else to sing this. Why in the world would this despondent, hopeless, abandoned guy write a poem and put it to music and say, now I want you to teach everybody this song? Maybe because he knows what the choir's like. Maybe he knows he's not the only one that cries himself to sleep sometimes. Maybe he knows he's not the only one that shouts out in prayer, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? How long? How long? Maybe he just understands humanity. 55 times David makes it a point in the Psalms to say, this is for the chief singer, the choir master, meaning all the people of God should sing this song. And a big chunk of them are these hopeless feelings put to song, ending with, I'm going to trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I feel alone. I feel abandoned. I feel like God is actively hiding from me, but I will sing praises to His name. It's for all of us to sing. He knows that all God's children feel this way sometimes. An 1800s theologian, Plummer, says, there once was a man who had no sin that cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Not all of these groanings and despair is because we're rotten people. The one man, the one son of Adam who never did anything wrong, got to a point where he needed David's song. And he cried out in prayer, probably to a tune, my God, why have you forsaken me? You could have added to it, why have you hid your face from me? Why do I have to take counsel with myself? I feel like you have abandoned me. Nevertheless, I will sing for joy in you. That's what we need. Do you realize that's what got Jesus through the cross? It was a song of David. I know I've talked about it. I'm just getting blown away in these Psalms of how this sinless man needed the same things I need. It's just he didn't waste it like I waste it. In her daily reading in Acts 16, 22 through 25, listen to this. Paul had been preaching. Revival happens. And they begin to attack them. The magistrates tore their garments off of them and they gave orders to beat them with rods. So they're preaching the gospel. People's getting saved and the leaders say, take off their clothes and beat them with rods. And when they inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into the prison, and they ordered the jailer to keep them safely. And having received this order, he put them to the inner prison, and he fastened their feet into stocks. It's Paul and Silas, beaten, stripped naked, and beaten for preaching the gospel, thrown into the inner prison and chained together. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Just like David. Middle of the night, it's dark, there's no night lights in that prison. And Paul and Silas began to sing praises unto God while they're still bleeding. It wasn't until the next morning this jailer gets saved after a miraculous earthquake. He gets saved and he cleans up their wounds. You know what that means? That at midnight, their wounds weren't clean. They're bleeding, they're bruised, probably still naked. And so we're going to sing praises unto God in the dark. David wasn't the originator of that. Paul wasn't the originator of that. It's from the Holy Spirit. That's God's word from His heart and His mind for you. You in here this morning, His word for you came through these broken men who suffered so that you would learn to suffer well and learn how to sing at midnight. When there's nothing to look around and motivate you to sing. There's no voice on your shoulder to get you through a cross. The word of God does. The Word of God does. Endurance. When we feel as if God has abandoned us and we're ready to quit, we must wait on His deliverance. And while we wait, we must sing. And so I wrote down here, sing about what? Sing about God and His character. David sang about God's mercy, God's steadfast love, God's faithfulness in the past, and His bountiful dealings with him. And he said, I'm going to sing because of you. I'm not going to sing because of me. I'm not going to sing because of this cross or these chains. I'm going to sing because of who you are. Folks, and if we commit to singing because of God, we will never lose our motivation to sing. When my singing and my rejoicing with song is based upon me or my surroundings, I will lose my motivation to have a song in my heart. But if it's about our great God who reigns over the universes, I'll never lose my motivation to sing. Take my life, my family, put me in jail at midnight. I've got a reason to sing because He reigns on high. God's character, God's faithfulness. We have to have confidence in His faithfulness. And we have to learn this before the despair. You have to learn this. I say this over and over and over, dear people. You better learn these things before the lights go out. You cannot learn about the character of God when it's dark and you're alone with Satan. You will cave. We need memory verses. We need the promises of God. We need the Psalms in our heart. We need the Romans Road in our heart. We need the book of the Revelation in our heart. And if you can't learn that when the lights are out, unless by God's grace He sends someone to you. But time and time again, I see people fall away when it gets dark because they didn't learn endurance while it was light. Do you know what Thursday was this past week? Everybody's saying Thanksgiving. That's just a hook. It was Thanksgiving. But it was an anniversary as well, and I didn't do the math. Does anybody know what happened in November 22nd, 1873? A ship went down. I'll pronounce it wrong, but it's something Vela du Harve, maybe. A ship sank. It collided with another ship out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, and a guy named Horatio Spafford's four daughters drowned. Some of you are nodding your head. He was still in America, and so he got on a ship to head across the Atlantic to be with his wife who survived. Her note to him is famous, "Survived alone." He'd already lost children. He would later lose more. But on his way over, he writes the words of the song we sing often, "It is well with my soul," and it says, "When peace like a river attends my way, when everything's good and it's bright, or when sorrows like sea billows roll, and it's just darkness after roll of darkness after roll of darkness after roll of darkness. Whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed His own blood for my soul." When he needed comfort, he didn't look at the bottom of the sea to see his four little girls. He didn't look across the Atlantic to see his wife that was alive. He didn't look at his past to see how good things had been. And he didn't look in the mirror to see what he could muster up for the situation. He looked to Calvary and he said, "No matter what happens, Jesus Christ has paid for my sins. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Let Satan come against me." It's the same thing David said. It's the same thing Paul and Silas said. He did it in the 1800s. We're going to sing a newer song here in a little bit that says the same thing. "You are with me. When I'm at my worst, you are with me." Let me ask you this, church. Why in the world, right in the middle of God's holy word, does He have this whole collection of songs and half of them are dirges about a desperate, depressed man? Right in the middle of the Bible. It's a songbook. Half of them are despair and hopelessness. We need it, don't we? We need it. There's no pumpkin pie that's going to make us feel better. Pumpkin pie is not wrong, but if I comfort myself with that, I will be obese because there's no end to it. I need it more, I need it more, I need it more. Whatever other addictions you might have, exercise, drugs, work, retirement. Some of them are horrible and our society calls them horrible. Some of them are good and get praised because you try to find something to give you a hope in this hopeless world. I think we should sing about a faithful God And I think we should teach ourselves to do it. And we need to do it when we stump our toes. And we need to do it when we turn the wrong way. Or all these little things that cause us aggravation. And that builds up endurance. That when the stumped toe is a funeral, or a doctor's visit, or a divorce, or a bankruptcy, you have trained yourself to endure. I'm going to make it. Not because of me, but I'm going to make it because God is faithful. He has been faithful in the past, and I will sing of His faithfulness in the future, although my present is complete darkness and utter despair. The way out of it is God's character both ways. Train yourselves. Look into these Psalms as we preach through them about why in the world is this in the Bible? This isn't for the 1% of people that struggle with depression. This is for the 100% of human beings that struggle with depression. Let's pray. Father, You are gracious and You are faithful. And if the Lord Jesus cried out that feeling of forsakenness, how much more us who has the guilt and the shame of sin? Oh God, I pray right now in the name of Your Son, through the power of Your Holy Spirit, that You would do a work in every mind in here and every heart in here that would turn us towards You to believe You, to believe Your character. Father, I pray for brand new commitments to people, from people who feel hopeless and despair. That You have been faithful, and the reason they're here today is because You are faithful and You brought them here to hear Your word of hope. We will rejoice and we will sing because You have dealt bountifully with us. In the name of Jesus, amen.